the last, and something in the back of my mind tells me that I told you I'm not going to preach another message on grace. Is that so?
If it is, we'll give you grace.
Hallelujah. That's what I needed to hear. I was actually not planning to go back to grace again. We're not really going to focus so much on grace this morning, but it is going to enter here. But sometimes we redirect what we've been thinking because we send something a little different than what we have planned on. I've titled my message this morning, Created for Worship, and the title may be a little bit misleading. We're going to talk about worship, we're going to end with worship, but there's going to be a lot in between. So bear with me as we go through this. But yes, we were created for worship. But I'd like this morning to think a little bit about enjoying the grace that God has given us, the different aspects of grace, enjoying His grace, but not stopping with that, but extending His glory as we bask in this grace that He's given us, that we don't stay right there and we just sit, but that we extend His glory on from there. I want to read a story to you this morning. It's actually not a story, it's a happening. A lot of my thoughts this morning are going to come out of David Platt's book, Radical. Really have enjoyed reading this. David was at a church he was supposed to preach on a Sunday morning. That Saturday evening, he sat down with their leadership team and they began to talk a little bit. And then they asked him about his family. How's your family doing? And some of you have read this story. And David said the family's doing well. So he started talking about his ministry. Started talking about how they've been ministering to those that are needy. They've been ministering to those that are homeless, that have addictions. And he just shared how God had been laying those things on his heart, and this is where they've been at, really busy with the needs that they're seeing around them. And I hesitated this morning talking about this. I hesitated bringing a message like this morning because our church is very good with going out. But I believe it's something we need to be reminded of, something we need to be thinking about for us here. After David shared this, he sat back just to see what their response would be at this church. A deacon leaned forward in his chair. He looked at me, and this is what the deacon said. He said, David, I think it's great you're going to those places. But if you ask me, I would just as soon God annihilate all those people and send them to hell. That was his response. David didn't know what to make of this, so he didn't say anything. He said, the next morning it got worse. I got to church, the pastor got up and he began talking about how good it is to be an American, to live in America. And this is the place to be. And there were a lot of amens that morning. After that, David got up and preached a sermon on going into all nations. At the end of the message, David stepped away from the pulpit and the pastor gets back up. The pastor says, Brother David, we are so excited about all that God is doing in New Orleans and in all nations. And we are excited that you are serving there. He said, and brother, we promise that we will continue to send you a check so we don't have to go there ourselves. He said, I remember a time in my last congregation when a missionary from Japan came to speak. He said, I told that church that if they didn't give financial support to this missionary, I was going to pray that God would send their kids to Japan to serve with that missionary. He said, my church gave that man a laptop and a whole bunch of money. And David went on to say he believes that the pastor was successful in what he wished for. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5. Like I said, I'd like to begin with worship this morning, talking about worship. Revelation 5, we're going to read verse 6 to 14, and I'm going to ask if you're able to, would you please stand? And this kind of breaks in here where they had a book that had seven seals, and the angel to the right of the throne wasn't sure who could open this book. There was nobody here to open this book. And then it came to where there was one that could open the book. Revelation 5, verse 6. And I'd like for us to follow along. And when we get down to verse 12, I'd like for us to read verse 12 through 14 together. Revelations 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And I want us just to imagine a little bit this morning what was happening here. What did John see? As I was looking at this morning, I just had to think about what Sam said this morning. We had quite a few that passed away in the last 4 months or so. What are they experiencing this morning? Let's continue. Verse 8. And when he had taken the books, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. Imagine this if you can. Many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Let's read together verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You may be seated. I just saw this as such a beautiful picture of what John saw here and about the worship that was happening, because we are created to worship. I'd like for you to follow along as we go to the next scripture here, Genesis 1, verse 26. We've looked at grace for the last while. We've looked at saving grace. We've looked at enabling grace. But as I was studying, I came to a place where I realized the grace that we receive is not a grace that we can take it home with us and we're going to sit down and now we're excited because we've received this saving grace. We've received the enabling grace. And now that we have that, we can't go home and we can just sit. As American Christians, we're prone to do that, aren't we? We go home with what God has given us, and we like to just sit down, and we show up Sunday morning, maybe Wednesday night, and we're so delighted that we have salvation, that that's a good thing. Please don't misunderstand me this morning. But we're so delighted that we have salvation. But when we think about reaching out and going on beyond this grace, and I'm not sure if that's the right term to use or not. But if let's just put it this way. If we allow this grace that we have received to become about myself, I'm going to start focusing on self-centeredness. Does that make sense to you? And as I focus on self-centeredness, all of a sudden I become the object of grace. I am not the object of grace. And we end up serving self. But friends, this morning, God has a greater plan in store. He's got a greater purpose. I don't know if the word greater there is good or not, but He has a purpose. Another purpose, I guess, for grace. Let's think a little bit about creation. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, God had just created all these different things. Actually, let's back up a little bit. Let's go through the different days of creation. I think that's in your papers, children. Let's go through the different days of creation here. This is just something I kind of threw in here just for our memory. Let's see if we can name what was created. Day one was light. What was day two? This is not just for children. This is for anybody. What was created on the second day? Firmament. What was day three? It's okay, I had to think too. Okay, we had dry land, we had grass, we had trees. What was day four? Sun, moon, and stars. What was day five? The birds and fish. What was day six? Animals and mankind. What was day seven? It's not listed here, or it's not on your paper. What was day seven? Rest. I didn't put that one in there. But on day six, day one through five, there were different things created. On day six, God made animals at the beginning there, and it was good. But then he came to verse 26 here. He said, let us make man in our image. And this is the only creation that he talked about. Let's make it in our image. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. I want us to catch that. Be fruitful and multiply. You are not to stay just the two of you. Be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth. Why do you think God wanted the earth full of people? To bring him glory. I come back as I studied this message throughout this week, throughout last week. I come back to one thing over and over and over. We were created for worship. If we are not worshiping, and I'm not talking about just Sunday morning, but I'm talking about throughout the week, I don't think we're fulfilling what God created us for. We were created for worship. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we were created in his image. Let's continue. I'd like to think about Abram for a little bit. This is before he was called Abraham. God talked to him and he said, Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. How many of us would be excited when God would come to us and say, all right, I want you to pack up. Sell everything that you have that you don't need or what you can carry with you, take with you. He didn't tell Abram he had to sell everything, but he said, pack up, let's go. But he didn't tell him where he was going to go. But he did promise him something in verse 2. He says, I will make thee a great nation and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Now, if he'd have stopped right there, that would have been really, really good for Abram. Go, I'm going to make somebody out of you. What did he say in the next phrase there? He said, and thou shalt be a blessing. Again, we have Abram being blessed here, but now he's supposed to take it just a bit further. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now think about Abram as being a conduit that reached all the way down to you and I. We are blessed because of this. Abram enjoyed God's grace, but then he extended God's love to others. Now Abram has a greater outlook, should we say. I like to think of a story in Daniel 3. We're not going to turn here until a little bit later here. But in Daniel 3, there's a story about Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew men. I'm going to ask the children this morning, what's the name of the three Hebrew men that were thrown into the fire? Children, do you know? Don't be scared. Right on. Thank you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a very large image made. And children, maybe this is a story that you probably know this story already, but sometimes it's good for us just to hear it again. But there was a very large image made. I believe it was 90 feet tall. And the king said, we're going to have a dedication for this image. And he got all his leaders together. And he said, when you hear the sound of music, I want you to bow and to worship. The scripture says that everyone bowed and worshiped with the exception of these three Hebrew men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not bow. So the king found out about it. Somebody tattled on him. The king got very, very upset. So he called these three men in front of him. And he says, is it true that you're not going to worship? They said, no, we won't. He said, well, I'll give you another chance. When the music sounds, again, you have an opportunity to bow. But they said, no. Putting it into my own words, even if you give us another chance, it's not going to work. Because we will not serve your God because we have another God that we serve. So the king got very angry. He was angry before, but now he got very angry. And he said, got his big tough guys out and he said, you tie these men up and I want you to throw them into this furnace. That was the deal. If you didn't worship, you got thrown into the furnace. So they made the furnace quite a bit hotter. I think it said 7 times hotter. I'm not quite sure on that, but I think so. I see you nodding ahead over here. But the furnace got made really, really hot. They took these men, they tied them up. The big guys came over, took them and threw them into the furnace. And as they threw them into the furnace, it was so hot that the big guys died because it was so hot. A little while later, Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fire. And he said, didn't we put 3 guys in there? He said, now we have 4. One of them looks like the Son of God. So Nebuchadnezzar called them back out again. And something I never noticed, but it almost looks like maybe there was a little collection that gathered of leaders to check these 3 guys out that came back out of the fire. They didn't smell smoke. Their hair weren't singed. It talks even about their coats weren't damaged. I like the idea there's only one thing that burned when they put him into this fire, and that's the handcuffs on him. I don't know, but I like to think that way. But they came out of the fire, and there was no harm. Let's look at the verses that we read right soon after this. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, but think about this. Here we have these 3 men. They could have fallen right in with the rest of them. They could have worshipped and nobody would have ever known. But they didn't. They stood up for what they believed. They stood up for their God. Is my God so precious to me that I'm willing to stand up for Him even when others are against it? When I'm kind of picked out. Therefore, he said, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language who would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, and because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Again, we have the picture here of God's grace, and we have the picture here of these 3 men. Not sitting on this grace, not being delighted that they're saved, not being just happy in where they were, but they were willing to stand and to share God's love in how they lived. Yes, we have this grace. It's an amazing grace. It's an awesome grace. If we think about it, it's above anything else that we could have. It's life-saving. It's for all of eternity. And I challenge you this week, think every morning and think every night about the grace that God has given you. Think about how He saved you. Think about how He enables you to live this life. Every evening, every morning, never forget what He's done. Bask in His presence. Be close to Him. Because you are loved. We used this verse before. You are loved with an everlasting love. Friends, we have the opportunity to have a very intimate relationship with our Maker. It's there for us if we want it. I challenge you with that this morning. Am I willing to extend His glory to the ends of the earth? Am I willing to do that right here in Sturgis? Over on the other side of the world, this is the end of the earth. Am I willing to do that right here in Sturgis? We were created to extend His love to those that we come in contact with. Leviticus 11:44 says this, He says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." Holiness, a call to purity, a call to love. We love Him because He first loved us. That love should come through in whoever we meet. I found it quite interesting. At Clara's funeral this week, I heard from different people. She always said, "I love you." It was very evident that there was a love in Clara's life that she had received from the Father that she was giving out. We are called to love. When we receive this grace in our life, it's a call to action. Not to sit back and just enjoy. Yes, we do that too, but it's a call to action. It's a call to go. It's a call to be used. So now I have choices in my life that I need to make. And as a matter of fact, the choices that we've made over the past are why we are like we are. But this morning we can make some more choices. We can choose. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with this grace that we've been given? Are we going to extend His love to others? A couple of verses here that I'd like for us to think about. Mark 16:15 said, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There again we have the word go. Action. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Again, our light is shining. For that light to shine, there's some things that need to happen. Corinthians 10:31. Actually, that's Colossians 10:31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." All to the glory of God. Worshipping as we go. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians 16. I don't have that on the overhead. 1 Corinthians 16:23. As I read through this, I was just really blessed. With the praise and the glory that comes out of this chapter here. 1 Corinthians 16:23. He says, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation." Joe mentioned singing this morning, that it's hard for him to sing. There's something about singing to our God that lifts our spirits. I believe when we sing to the Father, He listens. And I believe it blesses His heart. "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory." New Living says, "Publish His glorious deeds, but declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." He deserves our praise. "He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. And I'd like to focus in on verse 29 here. 29 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." It's going to take me a lifetime. It's going to take you a lifetime to give glory to the Lord that's due His name. And I'm not sure we can even get that far. But as we go into eternity, if we are walking with the Father, and when He calls us home like He did others from our congregation, and we meet Him, there's going to be a worship. There's going to be a giving glory to the Father. But if we don't do it here, we're not going to do it there. I get chills when I think about that. Because life is so serious. We have one time to go through it. The ladies that died, John Freeman, Art that died, they have one time to go through life. Now they're in eternity. How beautiful it is when we know they went home to be with Jesus. And they're worshiping. They're giving glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. I had to think about Romans 1 and 2 when I thought about bringing an offering. Who can quote those two verses? Romans 1 and Romans chapter 12. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I didn't write them down, but they slipped my mind right now. Who can quote those two verses? Present our bodies. Okay, that was verse 1. It's okay, we'll stay with that. But presenting our bodies before the Father in this life, not holding ourselves back to the point where we're just satisfied for ourselves. But being willing to go where He wants us to go, even if it's going to cost me. Look at the three Hebrew men. It could have cost them their life, but for the sake of their Father, they were willing to go into that furnace. Some of you here this morning were willing to go across the waters already, because God called you there. Am I willing to go right here, to live for Him right here? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We've been given grace. We've been given the command to go, to share His love, regardless of where we're at. It's not just grace so I can sit and I can think about how good I have it. But we've been given grace to reach out, to go, to bless. And maybe this morning that's just going over to somebody after the service, giving them a hug and telling them you love them. Maybe that's a grace He wants you to show today. Maybe that's where He wants you to go with that today. But let me challenge you with this morning. That none of us, I don't know if I want to say have the right, but none of us should go throughout this week sitting on grace and not being willing to extend God's love to those around us. Let's not allow grace to become self-centered, focused on us, but rather that it goes back to the Father. And that He is honored and glorified in us. That's our purpose, to worship. Worship Him in beauty and holiness. We're going to stand. I'm going to have a word of prayer. You may stand. And then I've asked our sound guy back there, Dustin, to play a song for us. I know it's a little bit over 3 minutes long, but if you would worship the Father, as this song is played, maybe it'll give you a little bit more of a desire this week, in your own personal time, to truly get to the feet of the Father and to worship. Let's pray. God, we thank You this morning that You have created us as beings to worship. Lord, we confess so many times that we haven't. And we confess, Father, that we've taken grace and we've made it about ourselves. Lord, it's about You. It's about Your kingdom. It's about You calling us. It's about You receiving the honor and the glory because You alone are worthy. Oh, Father, we thank You. We bless You that You have called us. And this morning we want to turn our hearts to You, Lord. and ask that you would accept our worship. And Lord, we pray if we have hands that are not clean, Father, that we would ask you to clean us up, that we can worship. We bless you. We love you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.